Let's give him a big welcome back, Howard Partridge.
Give it up for Michelle Prince, who's going to the book bound in June. Who wants to write a book? Yeah? Read a book? Write a book? Zig Ziglar said that every person he met, he said, have you written a book yet? And if you said no, he said, you should write a book. And if you're a male, he said, you should write a book and talk about your wife. So I wrote my first book and wrote a lot of good stuff. And I talked about my wife in one chapter. Laurie Majors edited the whole book and everything, and she's very professional throughout the whole process. But I didn't get any feedback from her. And I thought, it's just professional etiquette, so it's all done, wrapped up, good to go. Emailed her back. I said, Laurie, thank you so much for all the help on the book and everything. And I know that you obviously read and all of Zig's books, etc. Is the book any good? Good thing to know before you actually publish it, right? Oh, yeah, Howard, the book is great. But I have to tell you, the one thing that your wife said was a scream. Write a book, talk about your wife. Very important. So Zig knew something about that. That's like, you talk about your wife, everybody listens. Speaking of Zig Ziglar, and Thanksgiving Day of 2012, Tom and I were scheduled to leave for Australia the next day, the Friday after Thanksgiving. We had been there before in 2000, whatever it was, when Alexandra, my wife Denise, and Christian went. We all went on this trip, five of us. And the host invited us back, and we're scheduled to leave on the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's going to be a seven-day trip, five-city tour, full-day workshops. Five full-day workshops. So think about five of today in 7 days in five different cities, including Perth, Australia, which is 4.5 hours one way. This is going to be a tough haul any way you slice it. So it's Thanksgiving Day, and Tom and I are texting back and forth on minor stuff like forms and stuff like this. And all of a sudden, he says, Dad's not doing well. We're heading to the ER. And I was like, you know, what's going on? He said, I'll keep you posted. Later on, he says, I may have to catch up with you in Australia, is that okay? I said, absolutely, keep me posted. And the seminars didn't start for a couple days after we got there to get adjusted to the time change and all of that. So I get there, I go without him, and then I find out, he says, Dad's not doing well, and I might need you to do this whole tour by yourself. And I said, no problem, because the truth is, and Tom will confirm this, is that when we did one-day seminars all over the world, I did 87% of the work, and most of the time he sat at the back and heckled me is what basically what happened. Zig's not getting any better. And I get to Sydney, I do the seminar, and this is the kind of thing, you show up with your bags packed, and you take off for the airport, you fly to another city, you check in the hotel, you sleep, you do it all over again the next day. So I went to Brisbane first, then Sydney, get to Melbourne, and I'm trying to get information. and I can't get any information. I'm refreshing my email, checking my text messages, can't get any information. Wake up the next day in Melbourne, Australia, and Zig Ziglar's passed away. It's all over Facebook. There were 13,000 comments on that Facebook page overnight. When he passed away, it was national news. It was carried by CNN, all the major networks, trending topic on Twitter. And so I had to, you know, of course, the family's back here. I can't imagine what they're going through. I'm over here, and I got to face these people the next day and tell them the news, and I want to be back over there. And so I do Melbourne, and fortunately the next day I had a day of travel to fly out to Perth, Australia, did that, flew then to Adelaide, did that, and I had 4 days scheduled on the Great Barrier Reef that was a bucket list item for me after that trip. And I convinced Tom to stream the memorial service online, and I literally watched it live at 1 o'clock in the morning in a hotel room in Perth, Australia. So by the time I got to the Great Barrier Reef, I was a wet noodle, basically. And this island that I had booked had a phenomenal website. I mean, the marketing was like off the charts. It was just like the best you've ever seen. The sales process, booking the trip, was all done online, very professional and everything. It was amazing. And the island was just like the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen in your life. And I decided to take a helicopter instead of taking the 2-hour bumpy boat ride. And it wasn't that much more expensive. And as I'm landing on this island in this helicopter, I expected that there would be a little guy in a white suit, I'm telling you, that would come out running out there, "The plane, the plane." But as this helicopter landed on that island, I wasn't on the ground 5 minutes before I knew that the next 4 days would not be the most phenomenal service experience ever. In fact, I never heard them call a guest by name once, and I was listening for it. You were room 157. And if you were walking down the path, and there was only one resort on this island, the island was magnificent. I mean, just off the charts, amazing. But if you're walking down the path, and one of the people who both worked there and lived there, which was kind of eerie too, they wouldn't really make eye contact because they didn't want to be bothered. The point is that we can have the best marketing in the world. We can close the sale, and we blow it on the service experience. So you got to have a phenomenal marketing system, a phenomenal sales experience system, and a phenomenal operations system. Operations is everything that you do to serve your clients, your members, your patients, or guests. The thing that's going to set you apart more than anything else is the service experience that you deliver. Because you can't market a service experience for very long that you don't deliver, right? So I have a question for you guys. What could this resort have done differently based on what we've learned so far? Training, huh? Free booze for the helicopter, from the helicopter, okay. Listen, if it was me, I would have had a short guy in a white suit. I'm just saying, all right? I would have hired that guy, okay? And I would have taken very good care of him. There would have been people standing there with those big fruit drinks, you know, with the fruit and the little umbrella in it, and the white terry cloth towels, you know, to wipe the sweat off your brow, right? What else could they have done?
personalized the service.
They could have personalized the service. They could have found it. They already knew what your name was. I mean, you got to have your name and everything, the seat that you're sitting in on the helicopter. There's only five people on this helicopter. How can you mess that up?
What was their mission?
They didn't have a mission. Obviously, didn't have a mission. But they could have had a mission, right? What else?
Again, as someone said, someone there to greet you and ask you, what is your purpose here? Why are you here?
Yeah.
What reason are you here?
The only person I saw was a guy grabbing the luggage that didn't seem to be having a very good day. And you're across the world on a little island. Everybody lives on that island. Kind of like, you ever seen one of those scary movies about the beach or something? I was like, man, I'm starting to get like nervous, you know? So, yeah, they could have said, welcome to the island, Mr. Partridge. By the way, what brings you to our island today? Well, you know, I scheduled this because I've always wanted to see the Great Barrier Reef. I want to finish my book, want to do some writing, and this great place to do it. But my hero passed away. I've done a 5-city tour, very tired, exhausted. If it was me, I mean, I would have found a massage therapist. I would have found a sauna. I would have figured out some way to acknowledge that, right? I mean, you got a phenomenal product here. How can you mess this up? You know, I was sharing this a couple years ago, and at that time, Tanya's parents had been married for 50 years. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary. So what is that, maybe 2 years ago, something like that? Oh, that was just a year ago?
They just did
51. So this is about a year ago. And so just imagine that if a couple shows up to that island and you say, hey, what brings you here? Well, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary. I mean, I would have flowers and a card on their front porch or their cabin if I had to write the card on a leaf and pick the wildflowers. You know what I'm saying? The fact is, it don't cost very much to create a phenomenal experience for people. And last year when I shared this story and I mentioned that your mom and dad had been married for 50 years, I just asked the audience, I said, man, how would you feel if you'd been married 50 years and John Michalitis yells out, tired? Not exactly the answer I was looking for. So here's what I did. How long have you been married now?
Not long enough.
3 years? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. 2.5.
Who is your best man? Huh? See, you said this after you were married. That was wrong. That was wrong of you to say that after you're married. Now that's community when you've been a best man twice for your clients. I've been a best man twice for people in our community, and I'm going to be a best man again later on this year for a couple in our community. Anyway, no. I don't want that yet. Santi, help me. Volume off. Sorry, I hit the clicker. I'll put it down. Sorry.
Step away from the clicker.
Yeah. Step away from the clicker, people. Okay, so we're going out of the book. Because of the meteor, we're going out of the book. So what I decided to do is, while I was on that island, I shot a video series called 9 Steps to Creating and Delivering the Most Phenomenal Service Experience Ever. It's a great series. I don't know where it is. Santi, you need to find that series for me. We had posted on the blog, I mean, years ago. It was back in 2012. It's on the old webpage. Would you get those? Mark that down. Find those videos for me. That was a great series. So I want to share the 9 steps with you. So I shot a video series on that island. They were great. It was a great little series. Didn't you think it was?
It was.
Was it a great series?
Hey,
me and Brian going to be in the hallway again. They're going to be like, wasn't that great?
And every day was a different like, oh, cool, now I get it. I'm a little slow.
Mr. Rourke.
Okay, so phenomenal operation systems. Operations is everything you do to serve your clients. So we have to track prospects, convert them into paying customers. Now's the opportunity to turn them from a customer to a client. What's the difference between a customer and a client?
Loyalty.
Loyalty. What else?
Relationship.
Relationship, that's right. What else?
Repeat
business, that's right. See, a customer buys from you once based on the price, the value at the time, the need at the moment, but a client repeats that process. They want to have a relationship. They want to have their own private waiter. I'm just saying. They want to have the person that they can call. This is the guy I call for cars. I've been helping my mentee get a car, and I said, you call my guy that I've been buying cars from since I was 21 or whatever it was, and that's my car guy, right? So you got your yard guy, you got your car guy, you got your guy, you got your gal, you got the one that does this for you, does that for you, and you're loyal to them, right? So the idea is that by creating and delivering a phenomenal service experience, you want to create loyalty, and there's something called a loyalty ladder. How many of you have heard that before? All right. There's something called the client ascension model. All right. So they start out as suspects. They go to prospect. They go to customer. Then they become client. Then they become a member. They become a raving fan. And Ken Blanchard put this in one of his books. He called it the loyalty ladder, and the book was called Raving Fans. You want raving fans. You want people to be telling a different story. You want people to be on the stage telling you the story about that island and say, I don't care what it takes to get you there, you get to that island on the Great Barrier Reef. I used to tell the name of it. I don't tell the name of it anymore, but I gave them enough negative referrals already, so I don't mention the name of it anymore, but I would be telling you a different story today about the Honda dealership. I'd be telling you a different story about the Great Barrier Reef today if they just committed to this one thing. All right? Phenomenal operations delivers a meaningful experience. Could that resort on that island have delivered like an over-the-top experience?
Very easily.
Somebody's asleep at the wheel. In fact, at the end of the trip, I thought, well, we could make lemonade out of these lemons here, and I saw an opportunity. Checking out, about to take the helicopter back. By the way, that's an experience to see the Great Barrier Reef from a helicopter. Wow. There's the manager. I'll talk to the manager and I'll let him know that I would be willing to waive my $10,000 a day fee in exchange for a free trip out here to train his staff. So once I got up there to talk to him, before I was able to talk to him, I realized what the problem was. What's that? What happened was there was a line of people, and there were two clerks, and he said, he saw the line was getting a little long or whatever, and he said to the clerk, he said, would you take care of that right there? Referring to a person. Mm-hmm. That, not this guest. That was the problem. Phenomenal operations system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. Here's 9 steps. Number 1, engage with their emotional state. If I find out that they're celebrating their anniversary, what's their emotional state going to be?
Happy.
Maybe. Not tired, John. You know, when you're somebody's best man, you get the opportunity to mentor that person. So let me mentor you a little bit, okay? And you got to, you know, I mean, listen, you've been blessed with a phenomenal wife. Okay? Are you listening to me?
I don't think I was married yet when I said that.
If it was a year ago, you were.
It was a year ago?
Yeah. That's what Tanya said. She ought to know how long her parents have been married.
Yeah, I think she's mistaken.
All right. By the way, folks, this is community. Okay? When you're best man for somebody, you get to pick on them a little bit. Okay? All right. The only way you're going to know their emotional state is ask them questions. What brings you to the island? What brings you to our hotel today? Tell me what's happening in your life. People love to talk about themselves. By the way, what's your name? I'm Howard. Michelle, it's a pleasure to have you here. Oh, you're doing a book writing seminar. How cool is that? In fact, I've been seeing people walk around with your t-shirts that say something about, you know, eat, sleep, and write or something like that. Was that what it was? Something like that. Anyway, so she puts on a nice experience at her book writing seminars down there in Captiva Island, Florida. That's where they go in the wintertime. All right, number two, develop your MVP and your UEP. Okay, your MVP, develop your mission. This is the mission that we're on. These are the values we live by. This is our purpose. This is why we do what we do. See, if we're going to go serve people, we need to keep our MVP in mind. We need to know what we're going to do, the values that we're going to live by, and why we're doing what we're doing. All right? And then your UEP is your unique experience proposition. Understand what's unique about it. All right? Number three, make them feel special. Mary Kay used to say that every human being has an invisible sign around their neck that says, make me feel special. And we should, because every human being is a phenomenal product. Every human being is God's creation. And we need to start seeing our customers and our clients, our patients, our members, our guests, as living, breathing, feeling human beings. And I'm here, man, I'm here to make it like the most phenomenal community experience you've ever had, so that you're going to go tell everybody you know about us. See, that's what Southwest Airlines does. I mean, they make it so fun and amazing, the experience, that everybody's talking about. I mean, they are committed to their mission. In fact, you may have heard the story before about Southwest Airlines. First of all, the most profitable airline ever. Once again, they got number one in the airline industry again this year. All kinds of books have been written about the service experience at Southwest Airlines. By the way, their slogan is love, L-U-V, and that's also their stock symbol, right? And if you look at the ads, it says an airline with heart, and it has a heart. Their symbol is an actual heart, okay? And they're so committed to their mission, which, by the way, one of their values is fun. This is going to be a fun airline. This is the one thing that makes the difference. So how many of you have flown on Southwest Airlines and the flight attendant or whoever's doing the announcements does like some kind of funny thing during the safety announcement or whatever, right? Well, one of their passengers got upset about that. He said, you know, safety is a big issue. This is a serious issue, and I don't appreciate you guys making fun during a safety announcement, and if you're going to keep that up, I'm going to fly on a different airline. Wrote the president of the company, wrote the CEO. It was Herb Kelleher at the time. He wrote him back, and all his letter said was, we'll miss you. That's being committed to your mission. All right. I was flying on Southwest Airlines. I mean, what other airline is going to give you a pile of peanuts? I mean, whatever other airline is going to like dump peanuts on your lap and they go everywhere? I mean, what other airline are the flight attendants going to, you know, stand around and chit chat with you and have fun? I mean, you're lucky if you don't get a scowl on some of these other airline customers. So I was flying the other day, and they started doing funny stuff. In fact, this lady started singing. And I said, okay, I better get my video camera. going here. So I videotaped what happened on Southwest Airlines. Let's check it out. I can't see the video. Alexandra, would you do that for me, please? For some reason, we're not actually seeing the video. Yeah, why don't you just, there you go, maybe copy it into a new slide or something. Or yeah, just hit play down there, yeah, maybe. There's Santi. Leadership, people, systems. Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever ran into the same flight attendant more than once and they remembered you?
Sometimes, yeah. In fact, I got on a flight the other day, and I was tired. I didn't want to interact with this guy because I found out that guys generally aren't fun like the ladies, right? So I wasn't going to mess with this guy. I don't need any peanuts. I'm not speaking tomorrow, okay? So, and I get on the flight, and he says, "Hey, I know you." I was like, "Really? The one person I'm not going to talk to?" He said, "I work part-time at the DoubleTree. Don't you do seminars there?" I was like, "Yes." So now that we're talking, I might as well tell you what I need. I need a lot of peanuts. All right. You ready? Is there a place we could go just to find all the Southwest airline? I mean, they really need to like post a video camera. I mean, they could charge for that. It was awesome. All right, so one of their values is fun, and Southwest Airlines is phenomenal. Okay. F-U-N, phenomenal. So make them feel special, anticipate their needs. Number four is anticipate their needs. You want to create a system where you're anticipating their needs ahead of time. And you can customize it as you go. All right. For example, when I was a waiter, this was a very high-end service experience. So we would be far enough from the table that we weren't like overhearing their conversation, right? Give them the privacy, but close enough to where we could see if they needed something. But we always filled the water, the tea, or whatever before they needed it without being a nuisance. We knew if they were going to need another drink or whatever. And at that time, you could smoke in a restaurant. So it was like a race to see who could get there with the lighter first, right? So you anticipate their needs and be ready for that. Number five, engage them. Number six, educate them. Number seven, have phenomenal leadership. You're not going to have a good service experience if you don't have leadership. In fact, one of the things that I recommend that you do is have a daily huddle. All right. How many of you have heard of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, by the way? I mean, talk about a phenomenal business model. These guys pick up junk. I mean, the guy starts this thing with a pickup truck and starts picking up junk. Then he starts selling the idea to other people, college students. And so I use 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and these guys are amazing. I mean, clean-cut college kids, hard workers, and guess what? at their corporate office because they take all the phone calls. So with this business model, they take all the phone calls at corporate and then they dispatch it to the local guy and then the local guy deals with you. Well, every day they have a daily huddle. They go through the numbers. And so if you have a team, you want to have a daily huddle because that keeps everybody focused on the MVP every day. Just a quick, like at our service company, 20-minute meeting. Here's our numbers. Here's the upsells. Here's what we need to focus on today. Maybe a little bit of training. And everything that you do, your entire conversation is around the MVP. Leadership is effectively communicating the vision, which is your mission, values, and purpose. So we need to always be communicating that and put in every conversation. When you coach somebody, you put it in the context of the MVP. Everything that you talk about goes back to the MVP. Always. It's never about between me and you. It's never about how the customer was or wasn't or whatever. When it comes to a phenomenal service experience, there's only one thing that counts, and that is how that client feels. You may have done your job technically, but how did you make them feel? That's the key. We haven't accomplished the mission if they don't feel what we want them to feel. How many of you have heard that work is theater and every business is a stage? There's a great book called The Experience Economy, and I shared with you that there's three E's of experience when it comes to business: engagement, education, and entertainment. There's a book called The Experience Economy, and it breaks down how a theater production is put together. All right, so if you think of your business as a theater production, you have the set, right? What else do you have in a theater production?
Actors.
So those are your team members. What else?
Costumes.
What?
Costumes.
Costumes. That's your uniforms.
Props.
Yeah, props. You got the set, right? Okay. So when you think about theater, what is theater designed to do for you?
Entertain.
Entertain you. What is entertainment? What is entertainment designed to do?
What?
Relax, okay. It's designed to make you feel a certain way, right? You're going to laugh or you're going to cry. And if you've got it right, it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. All right? So you look at your business as a theater production and you break down the parts and figure out the entire experience from the time that you have the first interaction with a customer. Let's say a Ritz-Carlton Hotel is a great example of this, all right, where they jump to attention. Did you know that the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, they know who you are before you even get there? Some of the hotels, I don't know if all of them do this, but this happened to Joseph Michelli. Literally, they've got like the Secret Service thing here where they're the guy pulling the luggage out of Dr. Michelli's vehicle is communicating with the guy inside. All right, so I'm getting the luggage out now. He's on the way in. Now, of course, Joseph Michelli writes books about Ritz-Carlton hotels, so I don't know if that happens with everybody. But if there's going to be a celebrity in the hotel, they have a meeting, and they go through all the people that are going to be in the hotel, show you their picture. So if you see them walking down the hallway, you'll know who it is. See? And you can say, "Good morning, Mr. Barron." Wow, how do they know my name? Did you know that at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel that every single team member, including the dishwasher, can spend up to $2,000 on a guest to solve a problem? So you need to have a rule that you give to your team members, empower them to solve a problem. For example, there's a book called Moments of Truth. There was a guy by the name of Jan Carlson who turned around an airline by the name of SAS Airlines. It was a terrible airline. He turned it around with a simple concept called Moments of Truth. Every time there's an interaction with a customer, that's a moment of truth. It's a moment of are you going to deliver the experience? So some companies will say if it takes 10 minutes or less or $10 or less, just solve the problem. If it's $100, I don't want to hear about it. If you can fix it and it costs less than whatever it is, if you want to make it 200, if you want to make it 2,000, you decide. Empower your people. I trust them to make the decision. All right? Then number eight, you need to have phenomenal systems in place. This is where your policies and procedures come into play. And number nine is build community relationships. What do I mean by that? Well, we talked about this whole idea of community yesterday. And we talked about this whole idea that we're so addicted to our tech. Right? We're more connected digitally than ever before, but we feel more isolated than ever before. Chick-fil-A did something really, really cool. Now, here's a fast food company that has created an experience around fast food. Closed on Sunday, values. They take, I saw Dan Cathy being interviewed by Tom Ziegler at the Ziegler headquarters. And he said, we take 17-year-old boys and girls and turn them into young men and women that say yes, ma'am, and no, and yes, sir. And they did something really, really cool. I don't know if they do it at all the stores or this was just a test, but they had a little thing called the chicken coop. Okay, so when you see a family having dinner, what are they all usually doing? They're on their phone. So they have this thing called the chicken coop, and if you, everybody puts, it's a little cardboard box, and you put your phones in there, and so if you go for the whole dinner without using your phone, without taking your phone out of the chicken coop, then everybody gets a free ice cream. How cool is that? Guess what? Their employees have to check their phone into the chicken coop. I mean, the last thing you want somebody who's handling food doing is handling their phone. Y'all know that that's like the nastiest thing on earth, right? I mean, again, that's kind of like the meteor. I just came up with that, but it's true. I think about it a lot. So if somebody wants to become a billionaire, then have some kind of little kit where you can sanitize your phone. Do they make that stuff? Does anybody make that? There's your idea right there. And by the way, if anybody laughs at your idea, write it down because that's the one. First they laugh at you and then they copy you. That's how it works. Thank you. And that has been my life, by the way. I've been laughed at a lot. Okay? All right. You're not supposed to pop on that one. What was that? Okay. You guys ready to get finished up? Let me hear you. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Listen, I gotta recognize y'all because listen, seriously, I gotta recognize you guys. To sit all day through Brian Tracy yesterday and then all day today, you guys have literally absorbed some information. Give yourselves a big hand clap. And honestly, I don't have enough time to really teach you administration tonight. I need 30 minutes at least to do that. We have less than 15. So I'm going to adjust the schedule a little bit in the morning somehow, some way, so that you guys can get on about your evening. That'd be okay? I mean, it's like, man, dude. How much can we do? Oh, we're going to talk about numbers now at 6:30. Some of us went on a tour at 6:15 a.m. Okay. All right. So that's what we're going to do. I want to show you one last thing, though, before we close. First of all, if you haven't done your membership stuff yet, would like to take care of your paperwork on getting involved with Inner Circle, because tomorrow is going to be a short day and it's going to go quick, okay? So if you're going to join the Inner Circle with us or you have questions, please come see us. Let us work all that out for you. Those of you that are going to upgrade to 777 or Ellen Rohr's program or whatever, come see us. Let's get all that handled tonight so that we can have all that done before tomorrow. If you need to talk to us, just see us outside the room, and let's get you taken care of. But I want to remind you why we do what we do. I have a feeling that tomorrow, when Tom Ziegler speaks to you, which, by the way, Tom Ziegler's in the house right over here, giving a big hand clap. Now, he normally sits back there somewhere, but, hey, the Munchita's here, so guess where? Hey, Tom, we're going to teach you how to do the AV, okay, so you can help a daughter out, okay? All right. But I have a feeling that Tom's probably going to talk about legacy tomorrow. And the very best thing that we can do, and the reason that we do what we do, is because of videos like the one that I'm going to show you right now. Someone came up to me on the break and it was Jamie, Nick and Jamie, and she said, I want to show you this video. And I just cried when I saw it. This is why we do what we do. Got to get the video on there. Just stop that. Stop it. Oh, you guys letting Tom do it already? He's supposed to train him first. I know, right? My leadership ain't going so hot right now. Hey, say that to yourself tonight before you go to bed. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, look yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look yourself in the eye and say that. Because when you get stinking thinking and you need to check up from the neck up, that's what you need to say. Because that is the truth about every human being. And that's who you are. Thank you. And we'll see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.